I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
iZotope and Native Instruments have teamed up to create the start-to-finish bundle that home recording guitar nerds have been waiting for. Plus, you, dear listener, get an extra 10% off with Guitar Nerds by using discount code NERDS10 at the checkout on iZotope.com. From the creative spark to the final touch, their new bundles include pretty much everything you could possibly need, which is great because it's far too easy to sink hundreds of pounds and a big chunk of your time into just picking up random plugins. The Music Production Suite 4.1 and Complete 13 bundle contains over 30 intelligent mixing, mastering and repair plugins, 65 premium instruments, 20 plus expansions and over 35,000 sounds. And if that's a bit basic for you, they've also bundled Music Production Suite 4.1 with Complete 13 Ultimate, which gives you everything that makes Complete 13 incredible, plus a colossal library of added synths, sampled instruments and effects, 115 plus premium instruments and effects, 39 Native Instruments expansions and over 65,000 sounds. Whew. It sounds like a lot. It is. It's very good, very comprehensive. And as we've come to expect from iZotope, it's very good value. If you're looking to get into home recording, I cannot recommend it more highly. And if you're already into home recording, it really is the one-stop shop for making what you do sound better. This podcast is entirely treated and produced using iZotope plugins, and Native Instruments have been responsible for almost every synth or sample you've heard on our Guitar Nerds jingles. Check out their great new bundles on iZotope.com or follow links in the description of this podcast and use discount code NERDS10 at the checkout for 10% off anything in the iZotope arsenal.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Good evening, Mr. Joe.
Good evening, Mr. Matt. Welcome, dear listener. Welcome back to another fun-filled episode of the Guitar Nerds Podcast.
So much fun. So much guitar fun.
So much guitar fun, yes.
I'm sure people who are listening to the podcast are probably having fun while listening to the podcast.
I hope so. I hope so. I wonder what you're up to. What are you doing that's fun whilst listening
really
to
us? Let us know in the comments, can they? You know, no. Sort of like, yeah. I guess they can in the Facebook group. What do you do when you listen to the podcast? Keep it clean, people. You never know what people might say.
Exactly. Well, dear listener, do stick around to the end, because as always, we're going to be choosing a question from the Guitar Nerds Facebook group that we're going to discuss on the Patreon exclusive episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. I kind of think we boiled it down to a couple. We've got Peter Peche and John Bai have asked pretty good questions on the group, but we'll talk about those when we come to it at the end of the podcast anyway. So we're going to discuss those and see what we end up with on the Patreon. You know, other things we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about what's in our watch list again this week. We've also, I have at Guitar Nerds HQ, which is my house, we've had some lovely Jet guitars. Jet guitars, and also a Flight ukulele owned by the same company. If you're on the Facebook group, I posted a picture of me very excitedly playing the electric Stratocaster ukulele. Anyway, that's a whole other thing, dear listener. We'll get into that when we come to it. So we're going to talk about those things. I kind of wanted to talk about some brands that have stuck with me a bit from Guitar Summit last week, dear listener. Obviously, we spoke a lot about Guitar Summit and all the cool things I saw. There wasn't possibly time for me to discuss all of those things, so I've isolated kind of a few brands that maybe I spoke about a bit or maybe I didn't speak about at all. I want to kind of really shine a bit of a spotlight on them because they make such great stuff, and I think you should all to check them out. And I think especially in most cases for our US listeners, because the bulk of Guitar Nerds is listened to in the United States. A lot of these brands, a lot of these European and German brands in many cases, maybe they're less known outside of Europe. So I think they're really cool things for you guys to discover. So we will talk about those. Before we get into any of that, however, Matt Knight, how has your guitar week been going? You've been you've had a relatively busy guitar day today.
Well, we had a nice 3-day weekend in the UK. So I thought, what better way to spend it than I don't know if you do this, Joe, but I kind of have a sort of, I guess, a half yearly sort of check over everything guitar wise.
I wish I had this, Matt. I know that you do, and I wish I had this. I feel like I'd avoid a lot of problems if I had this. So this was your half yearly making sure everything's okay.
It's like, I can't remember. I think there's a particular zoo in the UK that every year they weigh all the animals from like the tiniest bug to an elephant. And then they do a bit of a zoo stock take. And we've found a couple of giraffes kicking around. Just didn't know. I kind of do the same thing because I think we were talking about this on the podcast a few weeks ago, that I quite often just go to the same guitar and then, you know, I'll restring stuff and then it won't actually get played that much. And then you're just like, oh, that was really worth restringing it 6 months ago. So yeah, I checked and I set up a new little Excel list. There's just been a list on my phone, but I haven't restrung most of my guitars since April.
Wow.
Yeah, April or May. And a couple of them had setups recently and I sort of got stuff down and I was like, and this was spurred on by one thing. And again, something we talked about a couple of weeks ago on the podcast was the fact that I got my Paisley Strat set up and I got it back and it was like, yeah, it plays nice. And it just still just wasn't gelling vibing. With
you. No.
Oh. And I've had it for a long time, but I was just like, there's something missing.
But so, Matt, you used to be such a Strat guy. I find it so weird that you're not gelling with Strats at the moment.
Well, Joe, I had a, you know, as we often do as guitar nerds, you sit there late at night going, What else can I do? And how can I change my rig again? And I was going through my box of tools and I was like, I've got loads of strings. Like in the week, I've got loads of Daddario 11 to 52. So that's what I put on my Baja. I was using Stringjoy 11 to 50s, but they're not so easy to get into the UK. And I know Blake and that have sent some before. But it's, you know, you've got to get them over here and you can get them from UK shops, but they are expensive. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to string everything up because I was looking at what I'd strung stuff up with before, what they're strung up with now. And I was like, I'm going to string everything, basically everything up with 11 to 52s.
I mean, it's a very good string, you know,
it's the best.
Think I'm going to, you know, I have 12s on most things, but I'm thinking about changing to 11s.
Well, so the Valentine had 11 to 50s, and I was like, the extra two, not going to make a difference. So I put that on there, did a bit of a tweak. Did the SG, again, had 11 to 50s on there. I was like, put that on there, absolutely fine. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to do, even though I had it set up recently, I mean, there was a bunch of wiring that needed to be fixed and stuff on the strap. I was like, 11 to 52s. Let's just go. 11 to 52s. I think there was 10 to 48s on it. The so nuts
are the 11 to 52s Daddario? All of
they
them?
Are, yeah.
Right, okay.
EXL 117s, I think, the 11 to 52s. The kind of, I don't like the colour of the packet at all. It's like that really weird army green. It's like,
I know the ones.
Not a nice colour string. And I was like, right, I'm going to do the Strat and I'm going to put 11 to 52s on it. Nut slots were cut wide enough. Absolutely no problem. Strung it up. And obviously, Trem was just like super far forward because obviously loads of tension. So I was like, right, I'm just going to get it right. I'm just going to mess around with it. I'm going to get it right. Going to set it. Going to set the action. Did all of that. Bit of nut sauce in there, you know, kind of cleaned everything up. All the electrics working fine because I obviously had all that redone. Plugged it in and went, it's just great. It just made all the difference. It made all the difference. All that, it was just beefy. It was just, yeah, it's just great. And it just, you know what it is, though? It's just not a great guitar for playing lead on because of the 7.25 radius. Just don't dig that radius at all. But for chords,
it is tricky, isn't it? It is a tricky radius. As a fan of all things vintage, I would love to love that radius more than I do. But it is tricky.
I think where I've played the Valentine so much, which is 10, compound 10 to 12.
Right.
So it's much flatter. It's much more because I restrung the Huber with 11 to 52s, which also had 11 to 50s on it before.
Right.
And that's tuned to E flat. And obviously there's a little bit more slack in there. Actually, no, I've retuned the Huber so it's an E standard. The Valentine and the Huber kind of have that same feel, the same string tension, which I think is kind of perhaps what I was missing. And the Strat for chords and stuff just sounds great. And I had about a year ago, which is where the wiring went wrong, I put a full Monty Strat pickup in it. And it's still, you know, it sounded good because the bridge pickup that was in it was kind of weak. I think it could still probably do with a refret at some point.
What year is it, Matt?
88. But whoever had it before only played the G string up until the 10th fret because it's really worn there, and then obviously really worn where you'd play like E and like B minor effectively. and I think when you put the frets in, you can almost radius the frets to a different, you could radius the frets to like 9.5. So you can do a kind of different radius on the frets to the fretboard. Obviously, you'd usually match them. So I think you can do a bit of balancing there. But yeah, it made all the difference. And at the same time, wanted to put the Reverend. The Reverend had also had 11 to 52s on. I bought the 11 to 52s.
And the Reverend is the Matt West
signature. So I bought the 11 to 52s because I had that tuned to D standard.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, see, no, I think I had it tuned to C standards, C to C. And
wait, isn't there like a Strat trem on the Matt West?
It's a Wilkinson Very trem.
Wow, so and that much was okay more like with a C to C.
Yeah. And again, it's because it's a bit like a Floyd Rose without having the locking nut, so you can really go to town on it. But I realised, and I'm sure you've done this, Joe, you kind of go, I really need a guitar for this tuning. I really need a drop D bass, for example. And I'm just like, so I put it in C to C because I was like, oh, you know, all those times I write all those riffs in C to C. And then I just realized setup was really good and everything in that tuning, but it was just far too like slack.
Yeah, you definitely need tension. 12s for a C to C.
And
bear in mind, I use 12s for D standard. All my guitars are D standard.
Yeah. I think when you've got a trem as well, it makes things feel. In some ways, it just makes everything feel a bit weirder.
Right.
Like a bit more rubbery, I guess. So I basically, again, just did the same thing, 11 to 52s, pulled the trem right in. The good thing is there's quite a bit of space on the trem flat, so you can go a full tone up. And then also you can like basically dive bomb the whole thing and it stays in tune. So now the Strat, the Huber, the Valentine, the Reverend and the SG are all tuned, all set up basically exactly the same way, all with the same string gauge, and then just some of them are in E flat and some of them are E standard. Had the baritone, check that, and then just kind of cleaned everything. But one thing I did do, Joe, which I don't know, I kind of was reading about getting like a satin feel on a neck, because obviously I just love the feeling of the Valentine. And I don't know, you know, if you're listening to this and you're hanging on every word, please don't go and do this if you're unsure. But I did it anyway because they're my own guitars. I took some quadruple O graded wire wool, which is super, super, super fine wire wool. It's usually used for like finishing off like French polish on furniture and stuff. Super, super light, but you can use it to polish frets. And I did the back of basically every neck with a kind of bit of quadruple O wire wool. Then had some wax, waxed it, buffed that wax in, then wire wooled it again and just got like the smoothest feeling neck. Nice. Ever. It's like I cleaned all the dirt off it. Then none of them were sticky. Just made all the difference. And that was great. It really, really made a difference. I actually had some slightly thicker grit paper, which I did the strat neck with first because it's got quite a thick lacquer on it. And just lightly took a bit of that off and then just did a bit of the wire wool. And it just didn't take it all the way down to like a pro satin finish, but it just took some of the stickiness out of it, I guess.
Well, you've ruined that guitar forever, Matt.
Well, no one else is going to buy it but me, so so I basically gave everything a proper biannual check and clean and scrub, and was just like, yep, it's great. And I actually really, you know, it's kind of made me want to like dig other bits out and just kind of like play other things. So I like played my Strat earlier today and was just like, you know, when things are clean and they're set up nicely, it's good to do. It's just getting expensive because you've got to do, you kind of want to do all your guitars at once. And then it's like when you've got like 8 or 9, you're like, this is why I only change my strings every 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all the strings I have here when I do things like that, all the guitar strings I have left now are like from this like gift pack that Ernie Ball sent me when they released all their half sets.
Right.
Because they released like two variants of 9.5s, two variants of 10.5s, you know, 11.5s, etc. You know, they used this and they sent me like a bundle of them. And of course, I use quite traditional gauges, I guess. And so I've not used any of those. So the only thing I have left before I have to start buying strings again is all these half sizes. So I guess I'll have to use them. Matt, how come, why do you use D'Addario? That's not a knock. It's just, I guess I never think outside of Ernie Ball. How come you ended up on D'Addario? I never knew you strung with D'Addario. I did, and I've just forgotten.
I think it was a relatively... I mean, I've been around the houses, I guess, over the last 2 years, because I was using... I can't even remember what I was using before that.
Is it Mangan strings?
I had Kurt Mangan strings for a while, and then... went to Stringjoy for a while.
Uh-huh.
And I think I bought D'Addario because I bought D'Addario baritone strings.
Right.
For the Chapman baritone, the Beer baritone. And then I bought 11 to 52s for the Reverend. And then I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to buy 11 to 52s. And I feel really, really good. I feel like I'm getting this is going to sound terrible. I feel like I'm getting to the age where I should go to Elixir strings, you know.
What?
It's just like you know, it's like the PRS of guitar strings, isn't it, Elixir? But then I just looked at the price and was just like, I put Elixirs on my acoustic because I only restring my acoustic about once a year.
Do you think they last longer?
No, they definitely last longer. Right. I mean, the interesting thing is, and this is probably, you don't need to necessarily change the guitar strings every 6 months. I mean, taking it off the SG, which I probably have only played a handful of times since I've restrung it, the strings didn't look rusty, but they sort of just feel a bit old. Do you know what I mean?
They can, even if you don't play things, sometimes they feel super sticky, you know, even if you just sort of leave.
And they just feel, you know, they obviously start to feel a bit dull and, you know, things like that. So, so I just sort of went with D'Addario and sort of been there now. I don't know what, I get my strings from Strings Direct.
Yeah, Strings Direct's are really good. I get a lot of stuff from there. I actually buy hardware from there a lot of the time because they're one of those. They're like a string company, but actually half the time the hardware that they sell is better prices than an awful lot of, you know, hardware dedicated places.
Yeah, I mean, I was tempted, Joe. I will admit, I was tempted to... So if you go on their website at the moment, the first thing that comes up on their homepage banner is the new Labella electric strings.
Labella are doing guitar strings? Oh, yeah. It's over. It's over.
And I was like, oh, maybe I'll buy some of these.
Do it, man. Do it. There's nothing better.
They do an 11 to 52, a medium blues 11 to 52, but they're $11.99 a set. And I was like, maybe yeah, next time.
Mate, they're worth it. It's Labella. They make the best bass strings in the world.
Yeah. Do you know one thing I realised, though? I hate the majority of string packaging. It sounds super lame. Actually, the Labella ones look kind of cool. The electric ones look really modern. But if you look at their like Vapor Shield ones,
or
the Jazz Flats, you're like, God, like there's nothing. No one's bothered to change anything since the 80s. I mean, Ernie Ball. I'll admit, Ernie Ball. At least they're like really colourful and they stand out. Do you know what I mean? Like everyone knows regular Slinkies and Super Slinkies. I mean, like the most iconic colours of all time. But even that, with like the Eagle and stuff, I'm just like, I don't know, string brands just feel old. But yeah, I don't know why I'm with Stereo at the moment. I know there's lots of fancy strings out there. Do you know what I mean? NYXLs and, you know, all of those kind of things. And I was like, I'm just going to go with the plain old Daddario. In fact, actually, what I could have done was potentially looked at the new Ernie Ball Burley Slinkies, because they do an 11 to 52 now.
Yeah, they're very good. I think Not Even Slinky is what I use.
Burley Slinkies have got a wound 30 on the D.
That's what you want. That's what you want.
Where Power Slinkies are 11 to 48, they're a wound 28, aren't they? I forgot all about all their new ones. Primo 9.5 to 44, Turbo 9.5 to 46, Hyper 8 to 42.
The names.
Magnum. Mighty Slinkies. I mean, they must have had a real call for them to make an 8.5 to 40 gauge string.
It's so weird that they're there. Honestly, don't get me wrong, I really rate Ernie Ball strings. Never had any problem with them. The gauges they do are great. But I never needed the half sizes, in fairness, you know.
I did go through a phase of half size because I thought I was being cool and edgy.
That's it, isn't it? Yeah, you think you've discovered something that no other guitarist has yet landed
on. Yeah, it's like some sort of like... It's like I think we were talking a couple of weeks ago about playing Jazz 3s. You're like, oh, sit, I'm, you know, use Jazz 3s. You know, so that's the mark of a real guitar player, a serious guitar player. They've discovered the secret. And I think same with half sizes. I nearly bought... I know we're having a conversation about strings here, but we are the guitar players after all. I nearly bought DR strings.
Really?
I did use DR strings for quite a while. My first shop that I worked in was a DR dealer.
Were they big for guitar players? Because they were big in bass. I didn't realise they were big in guitar.
They were. Yeah, they this is going to sound lame. In fact, it is lame. But one of their string, talking about string packaging again, they've just got a massive spider on the front. And I don't like spiders, so I'm just like, I'm not going to buy them. I'm just like, I don't know why they've got a realistic picture of like a really gross looking spider on the front. I'm like, that's not going to make anyone
super
buy your
80s.
Strings.
Super 80s. They like, for bass, they did like a whole bunch of like neon strings and stuff like that. I was like, cool, this brand's not for me then.
Yeah, I did have neon strings once, I think, back in my early days. Terrible strings.
I can't remember who did them, but someone did like black strings for bass, but that weren't tape wound. And the thing was, at the time, I was obsessed with Paul McCartney, and of course, he played black tape wound. But black tape wound strings really didn't work for the sort of music I was making. So I used to buy whoever the brand was who made, I think it was Dunlop, you know, made like normal black strings, just so it looked like I had tape wound strings, but didn't actually play tape wound, which retrospectively is extremely lame.
I think it was DR, because I think I had black strings. Maybe it was Dunlop, but I did the same, and they look terrible and they feel terrible after a while as well. And they were expensive. I think the most expensive strings you can buy from Strings Direct are Tomastics.
Probably, yeah. I mean, I paid 75 quid. What was it? 75 quid for my bass six strings from Labella, and I think £60 for the flat wounds that from Labella, something like that.
Right.
Which is a fair old chunk. Yeah, 60. Here we are. I found the strings that I get. Labella, $64.99. That's what I pay for them.
Right. I mean, part of me would be tempted to buy the... you can buy 25 packs of strings now. And you can also buy... Yeah, you can buy... And they come in, like, the box. And then right. you've just got the strings that you need. And I'm just like, they probably go rusty by the time I get through all
those. Yeah, exactly. Also, I'm just looking at Labella on Strings Direct. The Fender Bass 6 flat wound strings by Labella are now £94.99 for a set.
God. It's just crazy, isn't it? Actually, I mean, that was the one thing I didn't restring. I didn't bother restringing the Bronco. I think the
last six. Time...
Bass yeah, six. No, the Squire Bronco bass. Oh, I don't the think Bronco I bass, no. have restrung it since I got it in December 2020.
I got some great short scale strings here. I should send you some.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll be up for that. I like the sound of a new string.
Put something interesting on there. I'll send you some flats. I'll send you a nice set of flats.
Oh yeah, I could probably rock some flats. So yeah, so I was doing a bit of a clean up and strings. I tell you one thing I need more polish and better generic tools.
Oh yeah.
And I was need watching,
to Oh sorry, carry on.
I was going to say I was watching a short video with Rhett Shaw, and he was going through that Music Nomad stuff, and I think they do like a guitar tech kit,
yes,
with like fret polish and all of that sort of stuff. And it's like, I just need to buckle up and buy. Well, I've got so many odds and sods. Do you know what I mean?
Well, what happened? And dear listener, this is, you know, sort of behind the curtain of just how terrible I am. Obviously, we worked with I don't know if you listened long enough ago, we worked with Music Nomad for a bunch, and they sent me all the stuff. And every week, Matt was like, you know, send me some of that stuff, and I never did. I still haven't, Matt, have I? I don't think I sent you any music. So I do have that kit. I think I have several of those kits here, just on a shelf. I really just need
to. That would be really good if you sent me one of those, please, Jay.
Well, I'm going to promise again right now and forget tomorrow, but I'll try not to.
Well, it would be good because there's one more thing. Well, there's two guitars that I need to set up. One, which is the Harmony, which is at my parents', which is in a cold part of their house. And I haven't been there for 8 months. So when I phoned my mum earlier, I was like, can you put that guitar somewhere it's not going to freeze to death, please? Because I love that guitar and I miss it dearly.
The Harmony Juno.
The Harmony Juno. But also, Joe, because I have buckled down. And next week's podcast,
yes,
it will be New Guitar Day.
Oh, it feels like it's been so long for you. I buy a new guitar every week,
Matt.
I buy and sell something almost every week. And
I know, well, you know, pedals, you know,
I guess you do with pedals,
never come and go. Like amps are for life. pedals, you know, are like, you know, just a revolving door. But guitars, very, very rarely. They actually, the first new guitar that I kind of paid money for, that wasn't a kind of Guitar Nerds thing, was the Bronco bass, which was, 2 years ago. But in terms of six string guitars, I actually think the last guitar that I paid money for was the Charvel.
Oh, the Charvel.
And I bought that in 2018,
and you've sold that,
and I have since sold that, so 4 years. So the guitar that will be is I'm hoping, if a certain friend has put the order in for me, I'm hoping that it's going to arrive this week. I finally, after 4 years after reviewing it, I finally ordered an Ed O'Brien signature Fender Stratocaster.
So you're back up to two Stratocasters.
I am. So that's why, as you were saying, Joe, about not blending with Strats until now. But I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to get the old 11 to 52s on it.
Good.
I don't know. You know, this. You know, just we tried it for listeners who maybe haven't been listening that long. There was a period where me and Joe were doing a few more videos. And things for the podcast, and we had a few bits to review and we shot some videos at my house with a nice little fake background. Actually, it looked really good, those videos, I thought. But yeah, Jay Cross bought us an Ed O'Brien Strat, brand new at that point. And if you remember, Joe, the Ed O'Brien's got a massive chunky neck on it.
Yeah, it's got like a almost like a 52 telly style neck, yeah, on there.
It's like the 10 to 56 V. It's like super chunky.
Lovely. That's such a good Ed O'Brien. I love you. What a very cool neck.
Yeah. And I was just like, you know what? That's what I want. And I wanted the sustainer. You know, very much a player, a man, a creator after my own heart, realistically. You know, I love Radiohead.
He's a soundscapist, isn't he?
Exactly.
He's a textural player.
I actually think, yeah, I mean, you know, Radiohead were a massive inspiration for me playing the guitar, especially into effects and stuff. And, you know, I was just like, I love the way the neck feels. I love the kind of, you know, white guitars I don't hate. I love the fact that it's got a big chunky neck. It's a satin neck. It's got things, like I said, like the sustainer in it and stuff. I'm like, yeah, I think I can live with this. So, you know, I'm sort of buying it blind. I know that, but at the same time, like, no, I have faith.
Mate, it's going to be a great guitar. You've got that huge chunky neck. A V is always a brilliant neck profile and far too rare. And it's chunky, it's satin. It's a gorgeous maple neck. You've got the sustainer in the neck that, don't forget, you can use in two different ways. It's got two options, so it can be used more as an accent, where it's just picking up individual notes, or where it's grabbing hold of the whole chord. You've got a JB mini humbucker in the bridge. Who cares about the middle pickup? That's just for funk. But you know, it's a fantastic guitar. It looks great. This is one of the best Strats that's been available in a long time.
Yeah, it made me think about a couple of the other Artist Series guitars that have come out in the past, which I've liked. And I was just like, you know what? This doesn't get enough love, because it seems to be out of stock in basically every guitar retailer in the UK. But Fender do have stock. You know, if you go to their website, it's showing in stock. So I was surprised you couldn't see it in many stores, because I was tempted to go and, you know, try it again. But I was just like, yeah, I think there was loads of videos when it was first launched and then sort of not seen too many people use it.
Right.
Because I was thinking about a sustainer for a while, and the only place I've seen a Fernandez sustainer for sale that's available and wouldn't be a nightmare to try and get is from Hot Rocks UK, and it's for the humbucker. And it's £369 just for the kit.
That's a relative chunk.
It is. And Fernandez, as much as I love their sustainer pickup, their website, I think, barely appears in Google search. And when I have seen it, it looks like a website from about 1995. And somehow they're still a company. And obviously, yeah, then when Fender are like, yeah, we need like 50,000 for like some model of guitar, I'm sure they're like, great. But yeah, you just can't buy it anywhere. So to have it come in the guitar pre-installed is amazing. And yeah, it was just going, you know, what, I guess, Joe, you know, I haven't even got it yet, but I was like, what could I do to this guitar? I was thinking, first and foremost, maybe swapping out the white scratch plate. A little bit of a tortoiseshell.
Oh, really?
On that.
Oh, you're going tortoiseshell. I do love the simplicity of the Olympic white.
It is
white,
very
white
clean.
Guy. With the maple neck, yeah, it's very clean. It's very Ed O'Brien. But I kind of agree with you, like, you know, that you could add your own little thing on there. A torque guard on white, that's always going to look great.
You know, I was thinking... yeah, maybe a little torque guard on that. And then I was thinking maybe I'll put block saddles on it rather than it's got the vintage. In fact, actually, I can't even remember the brand, Joe, but we got sent some saddles before, vintage Strat saddles. that they're designed in such a way that the grub screws don't poke out the top. Yeah. So when you're resting your hand on it, actually they feel really, really nice.
It's that seems like such a sort of ridiculously nerd level thing to care about changing, but it makes a lot of difference.
It does.
Strats are uncomfortable.
It does. And yeah, I like that, or I like the idea. Well, basically, a lot of this was born out of me still really wanting a Strat Plus.
Right.
And then there was a white one, and white pit guard, white body with the white lace sensors. And then obviously those guitars had the block saddles. They had like the rollable nut or the locking machine heads. And I was like, And, you know, when you get an idea in your head and you're just like, you sort of end up running with it. Do you know what I mean? I've been thinking about it for weeks and weeks, and I've sort of been saving.
Why did you choose the Ed O'Brien over the Strat Plus?
To be honest, I think it was partly the sustainer was on it, because I was like, I think I'd get a lot of use out of that. I also like the neck pickup. The sustainer. I also like the neck profile and the neck feel. Right. So I was like, you know what? And it's new. And do you know, the Strat Pluses again, they keep going up in value. Maybe I will buy one long into the future. But I still haven't found the right one. I think realistically, I just want back the guitar that I sold. And that was a 97 Strat Plus in Shoreline Gold. And realistically, I just want that guitar back. So, you know, if something like that ever appears, you know, you just have to go for it. But, yeah, we'll see.
I'm very excited to hear on next week's episode how you're getting on with the Ed O'Brien, if you get it before we record that episode. Just because, of course, you know, it made such a big impact on all of us. You know, when it came out, I was still the marketing manager at GAC at the time. And I remember, again, Jay sorted us out with one to just keep in the video room. And
it's still there, actually. And I think
everyone just loved it, loves that guitar.
I really think that might have been the seed that kind of has been growing in my brain for a while. Because I was actually with those guys in the video room over the summer. And I was like, oh, you've got an Ed O'Brien here. And they were like, yeah, I've just had it here for ages. I think it's been here. I think like they actually said it had been there since you'd been there. And I was like, oh, cool. And then I think that might have been the thing that got me thinking about it again. And ever since, you know, when we had it for that review, and I just loved playing it so much, and I was just like, yeah, maybe it was time, Joe. It was time.
I'm excited to see what happens, how you get on with it next week. But you know, talking about, because of course you've been looking out for Strat Pluses, that brings us neat. Well, no, this is slightly, I've slightly stretched this, dear listener, but it brings us slightly partially into what's in the watch list. Let's talk about that. So this week, in my watch list, on reverb.com, eBay's been a bit funny for me recently. It's just so much stuff is collection only and is in the arse end of nowhere that
It's the demographic of who's selling on Reverb versus who's selling on eBay, I think.
That is definitely what it is. Yeah, people who can't get their heads around postal service use eBay. Yeah, that's what it is.
I think I found, just before you go into it, definitely found more wacky stuff on Reverb, but also because there's no auction level on Reverb, that you have to kind of wait for stuff to price drop. I mean, it's good that you can search by just price drop. You can put in offers as well, but I have found myself on eBay recently just kind of watching a few things that have come up. eBay's more like a car boot now, isn't it? So yeah. Sort of just like, you know, you do get a few more bargains, but Reverb's a little bit more trusted in terms of what you're buying. And actually, I've generally found the condition of things on Reverb to be be pretty damn good.
This is it. I've never bought anything from Reverb that hasn't turned up exactly as it was intended, well packaged. Whereas, you know, I dear listener, I've spoken about it on the past, but in the past on the podcast, but like when I bought my late 70s Fender Music Master and it turned up in a big bin bag.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I was lucky it turned up, you know, in one piece, to be honest. Like one of the tuners was knocked in, but that was easily fixed. But that's eBay, isn't it? People sending stuff out in bin bags, and Reverb, you actually, you know, getting something a bit more proper. But yes, anyway, so again, this is carrying on from Guitar Summit, where I got to kind of meet and chat to some of the fellas from Game Changer Audio, who were just there, you know, just to be there. They didn't actually have a stand. They were just there to hang out. We all went out for dinner one night. And I love everything they do. And even obviously, Game Changer have worked with us on the podcast. They've sponsored a series before. They've sent us demo units of various things. But dear listener, when you're that, I'm only dealing with someone, their marketing person, over email then. And when you see them at guitar events in the past, it's been at stuff like NAMM, where I might be able to say, hi, how's it going, in a really noisy room. This time I actually got to hang out with them, you know, go grab dinner and actually talk to them about, you know, just about the things and the ideas. Actually, Matt, did we have them on it? I feel like we've interviewed someone on an episode.
We've had them on the episode. If anyone who might be new and listening, we have had them on the podcast before as well, and we did talk about their beginnings all the way through to now. I think it was a couple of years ago. It was probably during COVID times.
You're probably definitely
had them on the podcast.
But it was great to just sort of hang out and actually talk about effects a bit less sort of press releasey, I guess, you know, just a bit more sort of person to person, just like having a chat about stuff. And oh man, the way they were talking about like applications for their fuzz, the plasma pedal, I was just like, this really, and things that they've found that they can do with it. I was like, this really sounds like a product that I should get involved in. I realized I've never really tried one, you know, outside of like a demo booth at NAMM. I think they had a headphone set up at NAMM, so you can't really tell what's happening. So I'm like, oh, damn, I need to get a plasma pedal. So actually, that's what's in my Reverb watch list. I thought I'd see if there are any secondhand ones kicking around for a good price. So I found one for a couple of hundred quid because, you know, they're premiumly priced pedals. They're normally around the £300 mark. But I really think I want one. You know, also, to be honest, for me as a bass player, it's a fuzz pedal with a blend. You know, as well as having like a two-band EQ so I can boost up some of that low end. I really feel like this could be a very useful pedal for bass that I've maybe overlooked slightly in the past.
Yeah, I think a lot of people jumped on it early on because it was, I think it had a kind of gimmick factor that people loved and then had to have one. And then I think it's felt overlooked because people were like, oh, it's a gimmick, but actually it's not a gimmick. It's actually just a completely different way of kind of creating gain, which we, I think, again, we talked about on an episode a few weeks ago when it was their 5-year anniversary. And we were saying that, you know, where you've got different clipping diodes or an op amp, this is basically
this is the same
distortion through, you know,
a lightning bolt.
Yeah, basically.
Here's the thing: if they didn't have that open screen on the bolt, and they didn't make it about the bolt, if this was just Game Changer's fuzz, and it, without that screen, everyone would be like, "This is a great sounding fuzz." But because they're like, you know, oh yes, it works via this plasma bolt, you do get that contingent of people who are like, "It's a gimmick." It's not a gimmick. I mean, Game Changer are about doing things in a different way. There is obviously a gimmick factor to that, but they never sacrifice tone for gimmick. You know, it has to be amazing for them to run with it.
Yeah,
and they were talking to me about how many ideas they actually have, how many things that get through, that go through several stages and get breadboarded and trialed. And if they can't get it good enough, they drop it. And they were saying that they actually drop a lot of stuff all the time because they're very, very particular. They don't want to ever release something that's not, in their mind, perfect.
Well, I mean, in 5 years, they haven't actually launched that much, realistically.
Pedal, you know, a year, so basically.
Yeah, plus pedal, the plasma pedal, then the light pedal. No, plus pedal, plasma coil, which was the signature version for Jack White, light pedal, and the Bigsby pedal. And the Bigsby pedal was announced about 2 years ago, and it's only now made its way out, I think.
Yeah.
But the plasma pedal is very cool because, yeah, you've got the voltage control, you've got the high and low frequency, you've got the blend control, and then you've got the clean EQ, which you can switch in or out.
Yep.
It's very so good. Yeah, probably quite cool for bass. Mm. I was at one point very, very tempted to buy the rack version because I thought rack version looked super cool. The rack version as well has got a bunch of extra controls on it. So they did they've done it in a Eurorack version for modular synth, which is extremely cool. It's still got the same thing on it. But they also did the plasma rack. So the plasma rack has a trem built into it as well.
Right.
And then you can run both at the same time. So you've got a tremolo circuit, excuse me, which has got rate and depth. You've then got the same control. So you've got gain, voltage, blend, high and low EQ, volume. You've then got a clean EQ. I think basically the EQ, if you switch the EQ, clean EQ switch on, I think the EQ is not affected by the gain.
Right.
That's right. I'd have to look at the manual. But then what you also have on this is an effects loop just for the distortion, which is cool. And then you can also obviously MIDI control it as well, which is bonkers. In fact, it's got three different effects loops on it. So I think you can basically run this as kind of like, I can't remember if you can move where the effects loop are. But it's very, very, it's got a bunch of extra stuff on it, which I thought was super, super cool, including an expression pedal.
Ooh, that you can assign to?
I think you can assign it or
gain,
it works.
I guess.
Yeah, I guess it's just gain or volume. Yeah, and I'm just trying to remember what it said about the clean EQ. Address whether the dry signal that you dial in with the blend knob is affected by the plasma pedal's EQ section. Basically, if you switch that on, you've got the high and low control. The high and low EQ doesn't affect the clean tone of your guitar, which is quite cool.
That's very useful.
It does affect the EQ of the gain.
That's exactly what I want it to do.
So, I might have to dig mine out. It's been a while since I plugged my one in.
And, have you got one? No, I didn't know.
It's sat on the shelf. Yeah, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, got maybe we did.
name
oh, yes,
in
of
it.
Course it does. Yeah.
Damn
it.
But yeah, you should definitely buy one, Joe. And
I think
sure
I will.
If you spoke to Game Changer, they would sort something out for you.
They probably
sure.
would. They probably would. Yeah, I probably, yeah. And we'll see. I think I need one. I think I need one. Although I am still thoroughly, thoroughly enjoying, dear listener, the Frederick Effects Super Unpleasant Companion. If you follow us on Instagram, I've put a little video of me demoing it on guitar. I'll put a video of me demoing it on bass this week. Go and check it out. It's so very, very good and ridiculous sounding. It can be that sort of be in a box fuzz, or it can be that super saturated, gated, a squelchy fuzz, which are my two favorite types of fuzz, and it can do both things, and it excels in them extremely. So do check out the little reel, the little Instagram minute long demo, bite-sized demo. It is very good. Now thank you, mate. Now I do want to talk about a couple of guitars that have turned up this week, dear Matt.
Oh yes,
finally.
I actually saw these, and I just saw that someone posted a picture of these in the same place I saw it, and actually I saw the little mini guitar or ukulele or whatever it is version of these that you were talking about. And I was like, that is actually cool. I wasn't expecting that price point, so I'm hoping they're good, Joe, but tell me all about them. What is it? What's so good about them?
Okay, so do you want me to talk about Jets or Flights?
Are they not the same company?
They're owned
different...
by the same people, but they're two separate
things. Okay, that's why they look relatively similar.
Yeah.
Why don't we talk about the actual guitars first and then the other ones afterwards?
The ukulele we'll maybe talk about on this. Maybe that's the next week. We'll see how we go. Right, okay. So Jet guitars. We've been talking about them for a little while, dear listener. We, you know, I think I checked one out when I was randomly at GAC and I was like, oh, this thing's actually really good. And then I think we had a couple of people on the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook post that they'd purchased them. There were some mods that have gone on. And all in all, I think the general assessment of Jet guitars is, yes, they're affordable. Because, dear listener, they are, in some cases, sub £300. Some of them go up to sort of £400-£500. But they are extremely, extremely good quality for that money. And also they're interesting. They're a bit different. They're not just doing that thing where here's a black, red or sunburst guitar with a maple or a rosewood neck. You're getting interesting things, interesting pickup configurations. They're all F-style guitars. I want to say F-style. They're Fender-style guitars. But, you know, they'll do an HSS Strat. They'll do an HS Strat. They'll do Tellies in lots of cool colours. They'll do Bates Maple. They even do, like, dipped finishes. There was, like, a pink to white dipped Telly, double humbucking Telly with a Bates Maple neck. That. Yeah, I posted that on that. on the Guitar Nerds group recently, and I think Yogi the guitarist just saw one on Denmark Street this week as well. They're under £400, that guitar, and they're alarmingly good quality. So I was very excited when friend of the podcast Lee Alexander, not Lee Alexander from Tonepedia and Pedalboards of Doom, Lee Alexander, previously of Ashdown, who's now working with Jet, he got in touch with me and was like, oh, would you like me to send you a couple of these demo units? So the things I got, I'm very excited about. I'll talk about my favourite one first of all, the 350 series, which is their Tele style guitar. And the guitar, they follow with me, Matt, on the links, so that you see which one. But the Jet guitar they sent me was the Jet JT350 BKR, so black rosewood. It is a bound black Telecaster with a torque guard, Tele pickup in the bridge, humbucker in the neck position, rosewood neck, rosewood board, baked maple neck and headstock.
It looks really good. It looks really, really good. I think from the photos alone, I'm going to say this. I'm going to be a little bit controversial, but nothing bad. Uh-huh. If I wasn't looking at the headstock and I was just looking at the body, I'd say that was a £2,000 guitar.
You
just the way they've done the photos.
You are a headstock snob, Matt Knight.
I am a headstock snob.
It's a great headstock.
Put a Music Man headstock on everything. actually, do you know what? It's probably not the headstock. It's just the logo. I think the logo looks a little bit too modern for the body shape.
I see. That's weird. Fair enough. It is a modern logo. The logo's kind of tag. It's almost a tag sort of thing.
Yeah, it's like a 90s graffiti tag.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, this looks like from a body, you know, from a body shape, from a look, from a colour perspective, it looks like a really posh Sir or something.
Yes, it does. It does look like a Sir. €339 is the retail price on this instrument. Wilkinson Hardware at that price point, which is already unbelievable. I mean, this isn't a big thing, but it turned up out of the box. It was in tune. I know that doesn't count for anything, but I just, on a guitar, well, at that
normal
price
tuning or Joe Branton tuning, though.
It was normal tuning. I think it's strung with nines, and so that took me a while to get used to be honest. But
we were talking about playing things with 11 to 52s and like, you know, crazy string gauges. I can't imagine that.
Exactly.
Break out your 0.6 60 mil pick and away you go. You're Dunlop Orange and you're rocking.
Exactly, that's it.
Where are these, Joe, I was going to say quickly before we go on, where are these made? Do they say anything specific on the headstock?
I don't know where they're made. I imagine at this price point that they'll be Chinese made.
Yeah, rather than
Indonesian, I think. But I don't know. I don't know where. They're certainly not Korean built.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't think they were World Music, which is obviously the kind of leading thing. But then again, they've got bone nut on them, double action truss rod, you know, some real modern appointments there as well. And like you say, the Wilkinson Hardware.
The pickups sound great as well. Actually, dear listener, you know, if you you probably know, but I do all the videos for KMA Machines, the effects pedal company, all this week, all the videos that have been going out on their Instagram, I'm using that this Telecaster. It sounds fantastic. I used it today on a video that's gone out with the Guardian of the Worm, which is KMA's Boss HM2 style distortion with a built-in noise gate. I'm using the bridge pickup on the telly for those videos, and it is the biggest, fattest riff monster guitar ever. It just sounds great. I just think it's insanely versatile. It looks great. I love a bound teddy. I can't get over the price point, Matt and dear listener. I can't get over the price point for this. I wish they did basses. I would buy all of them.
Remind me again, 329 euro, did you say?
339 in euros.
339.
Yeah. That's the price on their website. That's just so good.
Yeah, so they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different guitar series. 300, 350, 400, 450, 500, 600, 800, 1,000.
Yeah.
So 350 being your kind of Strat, 350 being your Tele, 400 being your HSS Strat, 450 being your kind of Super Strat flame top kind of HSS, 500 your double pickup, double humbucker Strat, 600 your HSS mega flame top Strat, 800 is the weird sort of pink sheep of the Cole group, because that's
kind of a modded Strat. It's like an 80s modded Strat.
Yeah, it's like a humbucker in the bridge and then one single coil in the neck, no middle pickup, relict. And I think the relic is I think at that price point, relic's always a bit weird because I don't really feel like done by hand.
It's actually very good. And this is the other guitar we've got, is the JS-800.
Oh, okay.
So they do two options, the red and the black. So we've got the black, and it's a satin black finish with a white guard, aged. So those parchment pickups, so the single coil in the neck, humbucker in the bridge, single volume where a volume would be. And then where your tone control would be is a three-way pickup selector. Then you still have your Strat jack in the same place. Hard tail, through strung, hard tail, baked maple neck. And this headstock is proper, sir, on this model. You must like this headstock, Matt.
I think that one, to me, looks... I'm just going to have... I think that one, again... That does look better. And I think the pictures make it look, you know, kind of nice with the roasted maple fingerboard and neck. I don't know if I would have mother of pearl inlays. Personal preference choice there. And I would probably have it not relict, but maybe a matte finish. But I do like that. I think for me, the ones that I'm... And I've only seen the smaller, basically ukulele version, I guess, but different brand, but made in the same factory, is the 1,000 and the 600. And I'm just sort of like, I wouldn't play a guitar that was a mega quilt top sort of dipped finish.
Right.
But I think it's nice that they offer that kind of guitar for people looking for that kind of thing at a really reasonable price point.
Yeah. Yeah. This is it. I think... Those are fine. Those dip finishes guitars, they're very cool. They're super cool. And if you want something cool and different, you can actually get it at a reasonable price point. That's very, very good. The things that appeal to me are actually the 300 and the 350, maybe the 400 series, which is their single coil Strat, their Tele, and their HSS Strat, just because these are great modding platforms that come with a bunch of appointments that you wouldn't normally see on a guitar of this price. The Baked Maple... The Wilkinson hardware. You might want to do a pickup upgrade, but I really think, having sat and played this Tele, I would gig this every night. You know,
could this be the next Bronkhoff Joe? Do they want to give us a couple of guitars for us to just mod with? Because I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking that 350 top bound Tele with the humbucker and the bridge single. I'm like, actually, that could be a great, as you say, a great guitar to mod and mess around with, I think.
Yeah. The problem is they've already done half of it for us. I think the only thing I'd do is change the pickups. Not that there's a problem with these pickups. I think they sound great. But if I was going to turn this into, you know, the ultimate thing, I'd probably buy you know, I don't know, like a path for the neck, and then and maybe something interesting and cool from Sun Bear pickups to go in the bridge. But other than that, honestly, Matt, I you know, I've got to get one of these to you before, because I've only got them on loan, so they've got to go back. But I need to get you to try out these guitars, because the quality versus price is like nothing else. I've not come across guitars that are offering this sort of quality at this sort of price point.
They're I would definitely be keen to try. Did you say it's the black or the Sunburst that we've got?
What, with the Tele or the Strat?
The Tele.
Tele, we've got the black bound Tele, and we also have the black 800 series, which is their HS modded relict Strat.
Nice. Yeah, I'd be up for the 350 Tele.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bound Tele, I think, looks really good.
The 800 series, again, like, I know, like, as you say, like, relics are difficult at this price point because, of course, they're going to be factory done. But for me, like, the attention to detail on these, they've relics the hardware, you know, and not just the jack and the volume control, like, it's through strung. So the little ferrules on the back are also aged and sort of slightly rusted. So there is proper attention to detail, even on a guitar of this price point, which is
I think they've done a great job on the pictures. I think they look really good, and they look like they're available in quite a lot of UK retailers if anyone's interested. Looks like they're available in quite a few different stores.
Yes they certainly are. Now the other thing that by the same company that you've been talking about are flightmusic.com, dear listener, if you want to check them out. So Flight are a ukulele band doing a big old range of ukuleles, acoustic, you know, and electric, but not electric as you know it. They do electric ukuleles that are based on electric guitars. So I posted like a little video of me playing them. They do a whole bunch of series. There's Gemstone series, Art series, Supernatural series, Heritage series, Princess series, Royal series, Anniversary series. There are too many more. I can't list them all. But the one that I really care about is the Rock series of ukuleles, dear listener, where they do electric ukuleles in an SG body, Les Paul body, and a Strat body, and even a Purus style body. But let's not talk about that. They even do a little bass, actually, which I tried to get. It's like a dipped blue to white finished precision bass pickup bass ukulele. Tried to get it, but it's been so popular that it's sold out. So I couldn't get that. They all come with a gig bag. They sent me the dipped blue Strat with a single coil pickup in the neck and a humbucker in the bridge. It's hardtail. It's hardtail ukulele, which I've immediately just... I sort of looked up ukulele tuning and was like, well, I don't know any chords for this now. So I just sort of I just dropped it into like drop D tuning, basically.
Well, that's why I always like... that's why I like baritone ukuleles,
right?
Because baritone ukuleles are tuned D, G, B, E,
right?
So the top four strings of a electric.
Oh yeah, that sounds great.
But yeah, it looks like this brand out of Slovenia.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah,
which I was actually, I think I was in there. I was around there
last week where you did like four countries in 24 hours or something.
Yeah, it was absolutely crazy. But yeah, these are cool. I actually saw these in Music Room on Denmark Street. And I'm in. I think these are actually, I mean, it was crazy. I went to this guitar store, Guitari, in Prague last week, and it reminded me of just how far ukuleles have come in the last like 10 years. Like, I mean, they're just, I think I was saying to one of my colleagues that I was there with that I think it was just like 5 or 6 years ago, the SpongeBob SquarePants ukulele was the number one selling instrument in the world by quantity. which is just bonkers, really, when you think about it.
And but, who owns that? Yeah. Fender owned that, right, didn't they?
No, I think they're Fender. Actually owned by whoever owns Cartoon Network.
Right, I see.
Whatever. but I think they made a hell of a lot of them. But yeah, these are actually, the little electric ones, I think, are really cool. For them to do a tiny PRS-style one is absolutely superb. I like the colour, I like the look of it. The one I saw was the Pathfinder, which is the kind of super strat.
Yeah.
I thought the bass was very cool.
Yeah.
Because they do a bass in the same kind of stuff like that modern Ibanez with the dipped kind of multi finish. And then I'm guessing it's like, it's obviously not a solid flame top. That would be crazy. I think if I was going to have one, I would probably have, the Vanguard, which is the PRS one.
Really? I think less.
Actually, maybe the Pathfinder in the normal finish. I'm just not a fan of that, like,
quilt.
These quilt flame multicolored tops.
Yeah.
And also, I think the Les Paul one, the Centurion's kind of cool, but feels kind of cluttered with the four.
For all four controls that they've got.
All four controls. It looks like they've like really tried to cram it on there.
So I do feel like the Pathfinder, which is their strat, is probably the best laid out for actual application, because it's just a master volume and master tone, a three-way selector, and it's the three-way selectors on a mini switch, so you're not going to knock it too much. And it's a single coil and the neck humbucker in the bridge. Honestly, what's fun about these guitars, you're not going to play proper ukulele songs on this. What's fun about these guitars is running them through your pedal board, like smashing a fuzz pedal and a bunch of delay after something like this. They're just a lot of fun, like great for making weird noises. I mean, look at Warren Ellis. He has made an entire career out of playing sort of weird small four-string instruments through a bunch of pedals.
I was going to say, what is this? Oh, it's a. I was going to say, what kind of ukulele is it? But it's a tenor ukulele.
It's a tenor, yeah.
So tenors, soprano's the smallest, if I remember rightly. Soprano, tenor, baritone, soprano, concert, tenor, baritone, bass. So actually, in the middle. So that's the kind of better scale length, actually, and the. For I think probably people who are a bit older, maybe, who are guitar players that want a ukulele, probably the better of the sizes, because it's the one, baritone tuning is DGBE, so the top four strings of an electric guitar, but obviously it's like playing a classical with minus two strings,
right? Yeah,
where tenor is the uke tuning. Which I can't remember what's the standard uke tuning is now, but that feels like the right size for an electric. I think other electric ones like soprano, concert, they'd just be too small. So actually, I think I'm really into this. I think they look cool. Like you say, Joe, they just look fun.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I have had an awful lot of fun. I'm going to put up some more videos of me making basically weird noises with an electric ukulele. But they're a lot of fun, dear listener. Don't take it too seriously. They're just, you want to make a lot of noise. They're a great way to do that.
Yeah, there's actually two different guitars on their website that I would own, which I think look really nice. One is their, in some ways, unfortunately named Gut 850, G-U-T 850, Guitar Lely. Because I've got a Guitar Lely, I've got the cheapest Yamaha one, and that's also fun to play because it's just a tiny guitar. but actually, they tune theirs very weird. They tune theirs A, D, G, C, E, A. Oh, the same as a capo on the fifth fret. Yeah, that makes sense. Sorry. I was looking at it, I was like, that's a weird tuning, but that's the right tuning.
That's the one, yeah.
But actually, and a kind of thing that I've lusted after for a while, and every time I play one, they're super fun, and I'm not a bass player, but I would really like their Dubs, which is their electroacoustic bass uke. I think those bass ukes are just awesome fun. They're just really, really cool. I just think they're a bit like playing the bass, mini bass with spaghetti.
Rubber strings are a weird one, aren't they? They take some getting used to.
But I think they're cool. I think they're just fun for like plucking a few notes and jamming around. And like you say, Joe, when they're electroacoustic, running through your pedal board and doing a bunch of
makes
fun
weird
and
noises.
Weird stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely indeed. Indeed. Well, dear listener, that, in fact, we're coming up to the end of this week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. So we're going to head over to the Patreon. We're going to answer a question or a topic that's been spoken about on the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook. Now, there's a couple that I've selected, and Matt, I actually wonder if we shouldn't do both of them this week. Now, dear listeners, if you submit questions that we choose on the Facebook group or however you want, via email, on Patreon, on our Instagram, however you want to send us them, if we answer them on the podcast, then get in touch afterwards and we'll send you a pack of Guitar Nerds Gravity Plectrums. I think Gravity Picks are like £5 each, something like that. So, you know, so you're getting £15 worth of free picks just for answering the questions. So do get involved. There are two questions, which I think we might answer both of them. John Byes asked, do you have any self-imposed rules for buying guitar gear? I limit myself to no more than £500 for a guitar, £150 for a pedal, though I struggle above 80, and about £400 for an amp, which I think is a really interesting question. About,
yeah, I'm in.
There are actually some great answers. Hans Ams has a great sort of answer on that thread on the Facebook group about how he doesn't put limitations on what he spends, but he's happy to save up for the right piece of gear. And I think that raises interesting questions about whether you buy flippantly, as I do, or whether you, like Hans Ams, just get the right stuff. As you know, me and Matt have both seen Hans Ams' collection of gear, and it's very, very pro. He doesn't have any chaff like I do. Like I have a room full of random stuff and half fixed things. He just has the right stuff. So that's an interesting one to talk about. And also Peter Peche has asked a question about Firebirds as well. So he's thinking about Firebird. He's got Firebirditis at the moment. So it'd be interesting to talk about what options maybe are out there for that. And we'll see. We're going to answer those. Maybe we'll talk about some of those brands that I said I'd talk about on this week's episode. But we're going to head over there now. So yes, dear listener, join us there. You can become a Patreon supporter for as little as $1 a month. $1 a month will get you access. Well, it will get you an ad-free episode of this episode every week. $5 gets you the entire back catalogue of our Patreon episodes. $10 gets you the lot, plus I'll sing my thanks at the end of every episode. Find us on your favourite social media platforms. Join the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook and get involved in our weekly episode discussion. Thanks for listening. You've been lovely. We've been the Guitar Nerds. Farewell.
Goodbye.
I'm gonna sing you all about my Patreons. Yeah, so I am going to sing you all about my Joe Alba.
Yeah!